You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning. It is September 29th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller are both here. Selena Heller has a story about public employees and a solid pension retirement system here in Wisconsin. Same goes in Iowa, but now some Republican politicians have been undermining it. We'll be hearing all about that. And then coming up yet later this morning at 7:35, Raul Pavar works with AI cybersecurity, and we'll have some advice on how to avoid deep fakes and phishing emails. Then at 8:05, we will be talking to Ellsworth teacher Krista Lasecki. Well, I should say former Ellsworth teacher Krista Lasecki. She's one of the people that Congressman Derek Van Orden and other Republicans have had fired as part of the new Red Scare in this country. God forbid you say something critical about Charlie Kirk, who had a lot of critical things to say in his own short lifetime. And this Ellsworth teacher, after a 30-year career, is out of a job because of a congressman who wanted to politicize an assassination. So we will talk to her coming up at 8:05. Then at 8:35, Laura Bird will be here recommending some books for us, especially books that tie in with this week's Day of Remembrance and Reconciliation about the tragic part of our history revolving Indian boarding schools. So we have a lot to cover, along with the Packers ending up in a tie with Dallas, 40-40, when all was said and done. The Brewers beat the Reds and move on to the postseason. They wait to find out who wins between the Cubs and the Padres. That series starts tomorrow at Wrigley Field with games Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon, if necessary, to see who will be at American Family Field on Saturday to take on the Milwaukee Brewers. Brittany Merlot is off today. It is time now to play today's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you can win a daily prize of cash and jewelry. And you could be in the running for grand prize as well. So head over to the Civic Media app and use the text feature so that you can send a text to one of the stations and text us this keyword before 8 a.m. The word is early, as in early morning, E-A-R-L-Y. Early, text us that before 8 a.m. for a chance to win that daily prize, which includes $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. And then one grand prize winner out of all the entries, we'll get two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota play a little football, a Green Bay home game on November 23rd, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the grand prize is more than $1,500. Full contest rules at civicmedia.us. Again, by 8 a.m., text us the word EARLY, E-A-R-L-Y. All right, 7:09 right now, and Selena Heller works on stories for Up North News, but also for some of our other Courier newsroom outlets, including Iowa Starting Line, where Selena in Iowa, they have, much like in Wisconsin, you know, public employees have a pension or retirement system there. In Wisconsin, we have one of the strongest, most secure, healthy retirement systems in the country. I don't know what the status was in Iowa compared to Wisconsin, but things were working well until some Republican politicians decided to try to undermine things. Do you want to set up the package that you put together that we're going to play?
Sure. Yeah. In Iowa, too, it was pretty highly regarded. IPERS, it's called, Iowa Public Employees Retirement System. And yeah, IPERS was a very strong system. It still is. And so, you know, everybody questions, why would we change it? So there's a DOGE task force convened by the governor Kim Reynolds in Iowa. And she started this task force in February and wanted recommendations today. So they've been coming up with recommendations to cut things in Iowa and supposedly save money. And they've been having meetings. And so one of their meetings earlier this year was talking about one of the big things, the controversies, was changing IPERS. And their recommendations, like I said, is going to, they're all going to come out today, the kind of their final countdown. And so here is, I talked with a few people in Iowa about this. And then I got contacted about from a lot of people who were in the IPERS program after I just asked somebody, you know, can I use your photos? And can I, and then I just had this influx of people that were like, and their slogan is hands off my IPERS. And so I got a lot of people talking to me after that.
It's definitely touched a nerve. Let's give a listen to Selena's report.
37 years, that's how long Terry Dutcher's career as a teacher spanned in Iowa.
So I started teaching at Waterloo West Junior High in 1970.
And if you talk with Terry, you'll find out fast that she cherishes all of the people she met along the way.
A lot of us, we were all together at West Intermediate for probably almost 20 years together. And as I said, I've still in contact with a lot of my former students.
While friendships are a memorable benefit of her nearly four decades as an educator, Terry says she and many of her colleagues live paycheck to paycheck. So it was the benefit of IPERS, or the Iowa Public Employees Retirement System, that paid out respect.
It made me feel appreciated after I retired.
We make an investment in IPERS as a state because these people are very important parts of our public services. So our teachers, all of our state employees, local fire and police, those are incredibly important roles to our communities. We have to show their value by providing a good retirement for them. I mean, that's what they deserve. They deserve our respect.
But a Governor Kim Reynolds handpicked DOGE task force wants to gut Iowa's retirement program. The partisan panel, whose Republican Party already has imposed limits on bargaining rights, is reviving an unpopular idea, replacing IPERS. Right now, IPERS is a defined benefit pension plan that guarantees a lifetime monthly payment based on a formula rather than relying on stock market performance. And there's no one at the table to contest it, even though there are about 250,000 working people in Iowa who are currently contributing to the plan.
It's incredibly frustrating to me that we would have a task force looking at state government and spending and not include any state employees. We only have folks who are working in the private business world, and it's really concerning that folks in the private business world would propose taking away the one thing that makes public employment competitive with their market.
The task force continues to recommend weakening IPERS by reducing future contributions. IPERS is a proven driver of local economies, with 1 in 10 Iowans benefiting from their contributions. It is a fair and equitable system that has proven to be a powerful tool for attracting new employees and retaining the ones we already have.
So we're going to have educators, law enforcement, firefighters, public employees of any kind look at Iowa and say, if this is on the table, I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to move my life here. I'm not going to start a family here if I could lose my retirement benefits in the future.
Most important thing for me was respect and being treated like a professional.
And that really, I mean, we saw that with Act 10 as well, Selena. This whole notion of treating our public employees as second-class citizens is really the sense I get from them from your report.
Right. And you heard that about, it's just about respect. Yeah, we had that all change up in 2011 with Governor Scott Walker with the pension program here in Wisconsin. But yeah, that was Senator Sarah Trone Garriott in Illinois. She's from West Des Moines, so she has a lot to say about that. And then the Iowa State Education Association President Joshua Brown. So there's that'll be a lot of talk in Iowa today.
Now, there's nothing that indicates currently that something like that could happen with the Wisconsin employee retirement system, but it is a cautionary tale because, again, in this infatuation with DOGE-like things that slash just for the sake of slashing, you make things a lot worse in the long run. And Kristen, you can testify to that from a healthcare standpoint, as well as all the good public employees that you and I know.
They really sell it as we're running things like a business and it's going to be more efficient. But there are consequences. And I think, especially with regards to healthcare, we are about to feel those consequences. We're seeing an average of 18 to 20% of premium increases coming just on the horizon, months away. We know that healthcare is going to get expensive for all of us, and millions of people are about to lose their healthcare. And these are all consequences, not of what Selena's talking about here, but of just this DOGE type cutting that is irresponsible and frankly not in the best interest of the people.
No, it's not. We have not yet had a chance to talk to the attack on to talk about the attack on a Michigan church, a deadly attack there on a Mormon church. And Kristen, you had your show this weekend, which also looked at a school shooting and the ongoing scourge of violence.
Yeah, it's an incredible episode. Two parents of an I keep getting the name wrong, Ascension, the Catholic school in Minneapolis where the shooting occurred. They tell their story from walking their son to school to coming back home to what they're doing now in the wake of this. And, you know, here we are a month later and more shootings yesterday. It just continues to happen in this country. So now we've got more advocates and now we've got more Americans who believe in responsible gun ownership, in making sure people can get access to mental health care. And we need to keep pushing forward. So please listen, this is a really important episode, the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Get it where you get your podcasts or listen Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WISS out of Oshkosh Appleton and WGBW Sunday mornings at 9. And again, learn more over at civicmedia.us. And Selena's story is over at Iowa Starting Line. That's iowastartingline.com, part of the Courier Newsroom Network. Whew. You guys are busy. I mean, I just sit here and just pivot to you guys and say, what are you guys doing for work? You're getting it all done. Thank goodness. So Selena, I don't understand, much like Parker, I don't understand this not drinking coffee thing. What is your beverage of choice here in the mornings?
Well, you know, before I went to work at like 2 a.m. and they would always laugh at me because I would bring milk.
Milk.
Like, what?
Milk.
What are you doing?
As you work with Anchorman, that was a bad choice. Okay. Well.
Yep. I would bring milk. That's what I would
bring. Strong bones, healthy teeth, good skin. All right. Understandable. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. It's clear and 44 degrees. I've got a couple of mowing jobs near my house today to enjoy the near 80 degree day over the weekend. I went to Tigerton Apple Fest, ate too much, but had a great time. I took a drive around to look at the fall colors, took pictures. It was a great autumn weekend. I hope Kristen enjoyed her Highway 29 drive. There's a song called My Highway 20 Ride, but I changed to Highway 20. I made it up in the early 2000s. Rob says the Packers and Cowboys played the highest scoring tie game in NFL history, 40-40. And he says, going to feel like an extension of summer this week. Yes, obviously it is.
Can we talk about the Packer game for a second? Because it was like, it was back and forth and back. It was one of those games that you had to watch. You were just on the seat of your chair the whole time. And at the very end, they build it as the Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones, what's going to happen? Micah Parsons saved that game for the Packers with a tackle of Dak Prescott. So it all kind of like played out the way that it was supposed to. The drama was real.
But then I see everybody posting who was there. Some of my friends, I had a couple friends there. They were like, and then a big collective disappointment at the end because nobody won. And it was just all doom and gloom because it was like, no excitement.
Cowboys, you want to beat the Cowboys. But the point well taken, we may not have beaten the Cowboys were it not for Micah Parsons.
That's exactly right. So enjoy it.
We definitely have that. All right. Again, you can read more from Selena Heller over at Up North News and on Iowa Starting Line. And Dr. Kristen Lierley has her show on the weekends as well. And still ahead in about 15 minutes, we are going to be talking to an AI technology expert about deep fakes and phishing emails and how to stay safe. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Well, again, happy National Coffee Day to 50% of the show that drinks coffee. And the other 50% just can't believe the money that we're spending on it now. And we were talking during the break about the increase in coffee prices. And what did I say? How much have coffee prices gone up? 40% this year. Mm-hmm. This year, coffee's gone up 40%. Thanks to tariffs and an unnecessary trade war. And Selena, who's not a coffee drinker, but she knows how to snoop out a news story right away. I was about to put in a plug for the Up North News, autumn special, all the various Oktoberfests and fall festivals and things like that. But you can't have fall without your pumpkin spice latte. Mm-hmm. And inflation has grabbed that as well.
Yes. So tariffs on the global spices like cinnamon, nutmeg, and ginger. They're more. So your pumpkin spice lattes are going to be increasing if you haven't seen that already by getting a start on picking those up. So yes, 50% tariff on spices from India. That's kind of the biggest thing.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So there you go.
Wow. All right. Happy pumpkin spice latte, everybody. Suddenly Parker is like, well, the water's free.
That is honestly
might have PFAS in it, but
the coffee probably does too.
Yep. Okay. So I have recovered fully from, getting the double dose, the flu shot in the one arm and the COVID vaccine in the other. And I'm still here, Kristen. That's, we talked about heart health earlier today is like National Heart Day. And we talked about preventative care. Let's talk about those flu shots and staying up to date on your COVID vaccine at this time of year. Cause I know you're getting questions and I know my wife's getting questions and it is very much still a thing. Get your shots.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the reminder. The school district hosts a flu shot clinic. So this week.
Yeah. Now is the time. You can actually look up your own immunization history by going to Wisconsin Immunization Registry. Just Google it and you put in a little bit of information and it will literally lay out all of the shots that you've had. And that's really helpful because then you know what you need. And if you go to an urgent care or to a pharmacy, they can help you figure out which things you need to be up to date. Because as we age, we need different things. Maybe it's a shingle shot. Maybe it's pneumococcus. Maybe there are so many different things. So again, preventive care, really, really important.
I can't believe this vaccine registry thing that you're telling me about here.
Isn't it cool?
I guess. It seems a little
weird.
Feels a little
invasive.
Yeah. And yet I've called it up and there they all are.
Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Immunization Registry.
Huh.
That's what we tap into. Your doctor taps into the Wisconsin Immunization Registry through the electronic medical record. So it's all one big database that helps us keep track of what you've had and what you need.
This really, it's telling that I'm about to talk to a cybersecurity expert 10 minutes from now. And I just found this website where I put in my social security number and I get to see all my vaccines. It's like looking up CCAP for somebody and seeing what kind of crimes they've been charged with.
Right.
And I don't think anybody's going to want to know what shots you got. Really.
I hope so. I hope it's not dependent on that. No. But it is. It's kind of a yay me moment as I look at it and see all those flu shots that are on there, because I have been preaching flu shots for decades now, because I just recall in my 20s, maybe by the time I got 30, I said, okay, that's enough of that. Let's get this flu shot thing done because it's the worst,
And the flu evolves. So every year it's different and they do the best that they can to predict which strain of the flu is going to be prevalent in the area. So every year you need a flu shot and many of us still need COVID shots, whether or not we meet the FDA requirements, which are, changing. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely worth asking because COVID is incredibly contagious and you still can get very sick and die from COVID.
And it also lists the vaccines that are recommended for you based on where you are. And it lists a couple of things that I actually just got. So this should be updated here shortly, including the shingles one. Well, since we're on vaccine talk right now, shingles, if you have to get your, not have to, but if you're eligible for your shingles shots, get them.
Yes.
They don't feel great. You're not going to feel great for a day afterwards. But if you've never had shingles, you don't want shingles.
You do not want shingles.
No, I was, like I said, this weekend I was with a college friend and we told a lot of stories, a lot of funny stories. But of course, we're now also men in our 60s. And so there were health stories as well, including stories about, you know, shingles. Because that's what we do now. We rock on the front porch and we tell these stories. He went away. He went to work at one point on Saturday before we went to the Brewers game. And he comes home and we get set to go to the game. And I said, by the way, I tried to break your house. And I'm very thankful that I did not. But in the guest room, it was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful weekend. I'm like, I'm just going to open up the window here and let some fresh air in. I know he just recently replaced the windows. I turned the crank. The window opens. I'm like, that's a little too much. I'm going to close it a bit. And it would not close. It was like it was off kilter. It would not close shut. And do you ever have to, in somebody else's house, try to find out where their stuff is, like their tools or their junk? I would normally go into their junk drawer. The junk drawer is empty. All the cabinets are empty because they're replacing their cabinets this week.
Oh. This is so like a Seinfeld episode of like all the shenanigans that then ensued.
I'm trying to like gently push on the window, but then what if I break the window? And then we're never going to get to the Brewers game. Finally, in my toiletry bag, the little tiny screwdriver for fixing your eyeglasses.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, that little tiny screwdriver was just enough to unscrew the one thing to get the housing off, fix the little thing and put it back together. I felt like MacGyver, you know, with fixing this with a little bit of aluminum foil and bubble gum. But I did not break the house. I have that going.
Good work.
So, yeah. So we could go back to telling our old man stories instead. Catch the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show wherever you get your podcasts, and Selena Heller all throughout Up North News and UpNorthNewsWI.com. Thanks to both of you. Thanks for being here. Have a great start to the week.
You too. It's going to be a beauty.
Yes, it is. All right. We're going to be talking cybersecurity on the way here. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back at 7:35. A reminder of our keyword for this morning's early edition of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Early edition because that's the keyword, early, E-A-R-L-Y. Use the Civic Media app and text us the word early before 8 o'clock, and you will be entered for the daily prize drawing, which is cash and some gold jewelry, and every entry can get you the grand prize, tickets to see Green Bay play Minnesota, play some football in Green Bay in November. Some nice indoor seats available. Details at civicmedia.us. But again, before 8 o'clock, text us the word early. Then you'll have more chances to win, starting with Matt Nair on air at 9 o'clock here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's talk a bit about cybersecurity here, and we'll talk about it from a few different standpoints, things that we can do personally, but especially things that businesses can do to provide security for themselves, but frankly, for their reputation as well, and maybe things that government leaders could be doing in an age where AI, artificial intelligence, is becoming more and more prevalent, and that provides a lot of opportunities. It also provides a lot of risks that we need to know about. Raul Puvar is with RedSift. He has a rather fascinating resume in high-tech development and security. Folks would recognize part of his early work as part of the founding team and the principal technical architect for Shazam back in 2000, building the first Shazam iPhone app alongside other systems that are related to music recognition and more. And then along with other roles over the years, he now has a cybersecurity company, RedSift, as part of his personal dedication to making the internet safer. And he joins us this morning to talk about AI and, again, keeping ourselves as safe as possible when we're online. Raul Puvar, good morning. Thank you for being here today.
Hey, good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you here. And like I said, you have a lot of experience that you've now dedicated toward internet safety, and a lot of your work is geared on the business side. So we will come to the personal side and maybe the government side as well. But from a business standpoint, the thing that jumped out at me was the way that a lot of what's letting bad individuals in and work on things like, you know, phishing emails and things are when companies have what are called forgotten subdomains that were mistakenly left in their systems and that other, you know, other actors can take advantage of. So it sounds like you're really specializing in ways that businesses are unwittingly providing avenues for bad actors to come in and do things to the business or to their customers. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's right. I think most of your listeners would probably recognize the fact that there is an awful lot of phishing and fraud and impersonation going on online, whether that's, you know, from their banking partners, their healthcare providers. And this is actually happening all around the world. And that's mainly driven by a couple of things. And one of them is that organizations have a really hard time getting their hands around all of this infrastructure that they now have out on the internet that's communicating with their customers, with their supply chains. And bad actors are looking for all kinds of weaknesses that they can use to impersonate that organization, abuse that trust and relationship that they developed with their customers and the general public, and use that for, you know, some sort of nefarious activity.
And the reason that that's important, well, one of many though, is that it doesn't take much for trust to be violated if you're a business, a small business, big business, whatever the case, that, you know, you may have thought that you had nothing to do with, you know, a phishing campaign that uses your company's name, but your company's name can get besmirched in a hurry nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, in most surveys that are conducted, you know, roughly 75% of customers will cut ties with a brand after a major cyber incident. And many of those customers will actually blame the company, not the attackers, ironically enough, for, you know, not keeping the house in order or basically not having the securities that are required to prevent these types of attacks from being effective. In some cases, that is unfair. I mean, a lot of organizations do have, you know, are under an enormous amount of strain, and cyber attackers are looking for any kind of weakness that they can find. But the reality is that, you know, these things happen, and when they happen, the impact of that can be quite significant.
We're talking to Rahul Pawar. He's the founder of RedSift, an internet security company, about AI and deepfakes and phishing expeditions and things like that. And so let's talk not so much about the big businesses. A lot of them, well, they're aware of things. They have their own challenges. And certainly I know as a legislator, once upon a time, you know, working with state government, and I was blown away at the statistics on just how many attacks any given corporate system is getting on any given day that you have to fend off. But apart from government and big business, when you look at some of these, you know, medium-sized businesses, however you want to define them, I'm sure that it's one thing they didn't think that they'd ever have to think about, and probably to them sounds like, I don't want to say an unnecessary expense, but I'm sure they wonder about the return on investment. So when you're working on businesses that aren't, you know, say in the Fortune 500, what do you tell them about the need to make those investments in the cybersecurity of their business?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So naturally, I'm a technologist, so, you know, I feel pretty comfortable with technology. But there are lots of businesses, you know, all the way from, you know, regional banks and healthcare providers to, you know, someone who runs an e-commerce shop online in their particular niche. A lot of those businesses don't realize that they're actually pretty digital today, because they acquire customers through digital channels, they manage their internal systems of HR and payroll and their banking systems, all of that online, really, in 2025. So many businesses just haven't gotten around the mindset that actually, whether, you know, whatever they may have done, you know, over the last 100 years, these days, a lot of their risk is actually in the digital domain. And this is particularly true of those medium-sized businesses, those regional businesses that are out there. And they need to think about their cybersecurity, their internet security, in very much the same way as they think about their physical security. And the way they rationalize those physical security investments, they've got to extend that to the digital domain, because the impact of getting it wrong over there is actually pretty significant for everyone today.
Well, and that's where, in looking at your website, redsift.com, I took note of, you know, the need to fight AI with AI. The note here says effective defense requires AI tools that can scan the full attack surface, detect deepfakes and lookalike domains, prioritize the most dangerous threats, and drastically cut the need for manual triage workloads. That's a very in-depth way of saying it used to be really easy to spot phishing. People still fell for it, but it was, you know, dear customer and things like that. And now, essentially, because they're using AI, you're saying AI has to be part of the toolkit for fighting the worst tools that AI can put out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, about 10 years ago, most people would train their employees that, you know, if you want to spot phishing, look for misspellings, look for bad English. Nowadays, pretty much every bad actor has access to some sort of AI that's going to bang out perfect personalized English for, you know, to target the target end customers. There's going to be AI that's going to spin up websites that look exactly like your bank, exactly like your healthcare provider, except all the links and buttons that point to various types of nefarious services. So this is really being industrialized and superpowered through the use of AI. And I think it's unrealistic to expect, society, really, businesses, governments, to fight this with just pure human capital. It just isn't a very scalable solution. So us and, you know, a whole bunch of other businesses are out there trying to put AI tools into the hands of the defenders so that they can address some of these challenges in the same level of efficiency and scale that the attackers have access to today.
So again, fighting AI with AI, you know, again, you want to be fighting against, you know, hackers and others on a level playing field. Is there anything in the notion of policy that either, you know, a federal government like Congress or state governments at the legislative level, are there things that they can do to improve the situation as well? Or at this point, is public policy essentially powerless when you've got this much high tech, you know, that's already floating out there, changing and evolving every day?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I don't think there's a short answer to that, but I'll try my best. There are a whole bunch of technical solutions that are out there that can keep the general public safe. And a few of them have actually been mandated. So, you know, there's some federal legislation that requires organizations to keep an inventory of all their digital assets, to implement certain protocols that help harden this attack surface against this type of impersonation. But it's quite limited in scope. It only hits, you know, certain types of organizations that are critical national infrastructure or federal government itself. I think rolling that out to, you know, as you mentioned before, the thousands and thousands of mid-market businesses that are out there that handle sensitive data like healthcare or financial data, those sorts of organizations should also probably have some sort of requirement to do the minimum that is required to stay secure online today. But that's taking a long time to really go through at any level of scale.
We're talking to Rahul Pawar from RedSift about AI and cybersecurity. We have spent a lot of time on, the email and the phishing end of things. So many people are vulnerable to just clicking on the wrong thing, trusting an email too much. But from the standpoint of AI, there's also what's being done with deep fakes in terms of video and audio, but especially video. There was a report over the weekend about President Trump apparently essentially responding to a video that turned out to be a deep fake video. And I guess there are people that would want to throw up their hands and say, well, I can't believe anything I see if I can't trust that, you know, a video isn't a deep fake. But I don't think the answer is to throw your computer in the garbage. can you help us try to navigate an era of deep fakes and try to be more mindful or just eternally cynical about what we see?
Yeah, I think for now, eternally cynical is a reasonable default setting when you're browsing the internet or media. To be fair, people don't fully understand just how easy and how effective the tools are today to generate these types of, you know, still images and video. I mean, everyone appreciates that AI models can generate some pretty compelling text, but the technology has evolved so rapidly over the last year and year and a half that you can pretty much generate very, very convincing looking deepfakes based on, you know, a voice clone or an image of another person. So I think, you know, making sure that you do your research, check the background, don't trust everything that you see online, because it is extremely straightforward and easy for a bad actor to produce something that's very visually compelling in a very short space of time. I am optimistic that the technology will get better. I think we're getting better at detecting some of this stuff now. And so now over time, I expect it'll be easier for us to identify what is, you know, quote unquote, real and what is not. But this is an arms race that's live at the moment.
Oh, very much so. And so folks could learn more over at redsift.com. That's R-E-D-S-I-F-T, redsift.com/resource-center. And is there any other final quick words for people individually to feel at least a little bit better about how to navigate the online world these days?
Yeah, I think individually, choices are limited because ultimately it's down to the organizations to really harden their attack surface and make it more difficult and more expensive for the bad actors to do this. But I would recommend that, individuals stay, paranoid, especially when they're looking at text messages and emails. You know, if your bank suddenly asks you to do something really unexpected at a really unexpected time, it's likely to be a fake.
Exactly. Rahul Pawar, thank you very much for the visit and for the advice. It's much appreciated. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And again, redsift.com is the website to go to on that. We'll be talking to author Laura Bird and a fire teacher from Ellsworth over her comments about the Charlie Kirk killing. That's all coming up yet. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, you've got less than 7 minutes to text us the word early as part of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, E-A-R-L-Y. Text that before 8 o'clock. To be in the running for a daily prize and also for the grand prize to watch Green Bay play some football against Minnesota in Green Bay. Some great indoor seats. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more. Again, early is the text word. Normally, we talk to Jimmy Cuska here. He's off this morning. He does not get to sleep in. He, unfortunately, I'd love to tell you, he can't be here because somebody is going to get enough rest after an overtime Packers game last night. But that's not the case with Jimmy either, so everybody gets to be a little sleep deprived thanks to a 40-40 tie.
Yay.
Parker's very excited about that. So if Jimmy were here, we'd be asking, what was the most frustrating part of the game? Because there were so many to choose from. And I guess I'm going to choose instead to be like Kristen Lierley is a glass half full person, God love her,
yes,
and is going to embrace the Micah Parsons tackle that basically saved the game.
That was patch. Yeah, that was a very, that was basically honestly the first thing that he did, to be perfectly like he had a couple tackles, but nothing huge. He didn't have a moment. I was waiting for a moment for a long time, especially since the defense was so lackadaisical.
He looked a little uncomfortable out there being in a Packers uniform, at AT&T Stadium. And it's not like, I don't think he was like resoundingly booed or anything, but.
Well, there were too many Packer fans there for him to get booed.
There were so many Packer fans there. It was great. And watching Jerry Jones in the pregame try to justify, try to rationalize the trade. And it's like, we're going to get all these great picks and everything. It's like, I'm not buying it. I think you let your temper get the better of you or something, and you're paying the price, and frankly they should have lost that game.
Yeah they should have.
But I do love, the pregame and all the showmanship, the production and this massive stadium, and I look at everything about the Dallas Cowboys and just want to get over yourselves. You guys are the worst team in terms of getting to your conference championship game. It's been 30 years since you've been to a conference championship game. That's worst in the National Football League. You're talking like we're America's team. No, you're not.
They're Stop. Kind of a like caricature of themselves, honestly.
They are. Yes. And I'm glad I don't have to hear about them again for a little while. Now that game is over, the Packers are on a bye week here. And so we will not be seeing them next weekend. Instead, it'll be on October 12th. That's a Sunday. It's a home game against the Cincinnati Bengals. 3:25. So it's the late afternoon game when the Packers come back in action. And then there's the Brewers, who beat Cincinnati 4-2 to avoid a sweep and also claim the best record in team history, 97 wins and 65 losses. Danny Jansen had a two-run homer. Folks were very encouraged about Trevor McGill. Yeah, he was one of five relievers that took a little time and, you know, broke up the load for everybody yesterday. So we've got that going for us. And so we don't have to play in the wild card round. And that's great because the wild card round has not been good to the Brewers. But of course, now, because we always have to be eternally glass empty on some of these things, we now go, oh, is waiting until next Saturday too long? You know, are we getting too much of a layoff? Will we get rusty? No, no, we're going to get healthy. That's the thing. Let's get healthy.
It'd be nice to get healthy. We really need to get healthy.
Parker's so sleep deprived. He's lost the ability to be confident.
I'm very sleep deprived. I am very multitasking. I am very not optimistic. I am a very glass half empty kind of guy, Pat.
You certainly are for this morning. Yes. So look, here's the setup for the Brewers. They will come Saturday. They will open up the National League Division Series against the winner of the wild card series between the Cubs and the Padres. It's a three-game series, or best 2 out of 3. And so those games, they're all at Wrigley Field, San Diego, at Chicago, starting tomorrow afternoon, then Wednesday afternoon, and then Thursday afternoon. All the games are at 2:00, and whichever team wins 2 out of 3 will be coming to Milwaukee on Saturday to begin the National League Division Series. Game 2 in Milwaukee will be a week from today. And then game 3 will be next week, Wednesday, at either Chicago or San Diego. Then games 4 and 5, if necessary, the division series is a best of 5. So the wild card is a best of 3. The division series is a best of 5. And then the league championship series and the world series are best of 7 series. So all you got to do, I missed the stat before. What is it? You got to win, 11 of the next 18 games or something like that. And the Brewers have consistently been able to do that.
Yeah, actually, it was funny. I was looking, I can't think of who the beat writer was, but one of the beat writers posted a picture of the calendar in the press box. And they always write win-loss on the calendar for the games, and they put where they are at the end of the month. And September was the only month that the Brewers weren't over 500. And I think one of 2 months they weren't like 7 games over 500. So
yeah, it's 11 out of 19. They got to win 11 games out of a maximum 19 that are ahead of them. Okay. They are able to do that. Now on the minus side, while the Brewers won the season series against many clubs this year, they did not win the season series against either the Cubs or the Padres. So it will already be a proven formidable opponent. But I, for one, forgive the imagery, but love the idea that for us to advance in the playoffs, the only way forward is right down Craig Counsell's throat. And we just got to ram this thing right down, and he's going to like it. And we just move on from there to the National League Championship Series.
Yeah, you see, it'd also be really fun to beat Manny Machado, though, because I really don't like Manny Machado.
Again, it's a win-win, quite literally. If you beat either the Cubs or the Padres, it's going to feel wonderfully satisfying. And that's the thing. There's still plenty of time to get our hearts broken, but for now, we've got hope. Unlike those folks in, you know, the New York for the Metropolitans, it's not going to be a great winter for them, not at all. So, all right, coming up after the 8:00 news, we'll be talking to a teacher from Ellsworth who is now a former teacher from Ellsworth because of comments made, not so much her comments, but the reaction of a congressman to those comments. That's coming up. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Brightwell.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.